than how you spend your time outside. For your information, if you have not yet realized that the time in NYTS or any 2 weeks events, it actually goes a bit faster than other places. That the first few days you might feel it's taking forever, but hey, before you know it, we are in the second week already. And then if we do not carefully utilize our timing here, before you know it, it will be the end. We'll be holding closing ceremony. So brothers and sisters, please do cherish your timing here because it goes very fast. Okay? You to use your time wisely for class and also for prayer. Not just the prayer session, but also please do find your spare time. To use your time to pray on your own. It is a bit different when you are scheduled to pray compared to when you want to pray. It's very different. When you are scheduled to pray, you come and you feel that, yeah, I have to do it because it's on the schedule. So you kneel here, you spend the 20, 30 minutes in your prayer, which is good. But if we are able to take the initiative, say to myself that I need to pray and I want to pray, and you know what? You approach the prayer room, you kneel down, you say, hey, Lord, I'm here to talk to you. It's very different when you take the initiative. So please do remember, utilize your time wisely. Before we pray, we would like to share a passage from Psalm chapter 74. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 74. Psalm chapter 74, verse 3. Psalm chapter 74, verse 3. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolation. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemy roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They say in their heart, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. Verse 9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophets, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Okay? This is a song of desolation, a song of woes, a song of crying. I think here we see that the author of the song described how the sanctuary were invaded, defiled, and also destroyed. You know what? In the history of Israel, every time when they want to make a difference in their life, enemy come right away. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, when the Israelites return to Samuel and say to Samuel, 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 please, we want to return to the Lord. Please pray for us. Please help us. The moment when they decide to return, the moment when they decide to make a difference, the moment when they plea for transformation. That's when the enemy come, search for them, and ready to battle with them. Brothers and sisters, you spent 1 week in here already through prayer and many classes. Maybe many of you, hopefully, many of you, that in your heart there's this sea of transformation. You start to feel annoying with your old life. You are agitated with the sin that's keep on dragging you back to the old way. So you know what? In your heart, you say, it's time for transformation. It's it. This is it. I'm tired. I'm tired of the sinful life. I'm tired with all my sinful friends. I'm tired being persuaded to do the wrong. So this is it. start from now on, I'm going to mark a new page of my life. If this is how you feel, thank God that the prayer is really paid off. But the problem is, do remember, every time when the Israelites want to be different, enemy come right away. So challenge is inevitable. Pressure will surely come. When you try to be different, you bet the enemy will go after you right away. Just like in here, the Israelites says that, what happened to our sanctuary? Enemy come, enemy destroy, enemy attack. What do we do about it? I think here there are three main problems. When enemy come and attack us, it creates three main problems into our spiritual life. What are the three problems? Let's turn to verse 9. Huh? Verse 9 says, the first one says, we do not see our sight. What is the sight? Among the 12 tribes, Israel, 12 tribes, every tribe have their own flag. So when they march forward, they have their flag holding very high. And then every flag has different sign on the flag. 12 tribes, each one is different than the other. So any tribe member, they just look at the flag, look at the banner. They know exactly where their tribe is. They know which tribe that they belong to. Recognition, identity. So when they look at flag, they identify themselves. This is my tribe. This is my family. This is where I belong to. Status, identity. Oh? But in here it says that the first problem, how the world manipulate your faith. The first thing is take away your identity. In here say, Israel says, I don't know. I don't know my flag. I don't know my identity. I lost the sight. The sign to identify who I am today. The world is trying to brainwash us day by day and keep on telling us that, no, you are no different than anyone else in the world. But remember, in the Bible, every time, very often when they call, when God talked to the Israelites, he always begin, Oh, Israel. Why did God always say that? Because God wants us to remember who we are. We are not any ordinary people. We are not any nation in the world. We are the Israel. So God keep on reminding the Israelites people, yes, you are the special people. You are the chosen one. You are the one that belongs to me. So you are the Israel. So today, the first way the world attack us is through mixing or compromising. You know, allow us to slowly forget who we are, losing our identity to the point that we no longer identify ourselves with the sign. Also, brother, sister, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? He said, oh, you know what, I'm the student of this school, or I am the employee of this company. You know what, we have many, many identities. But the most importantly, do you know that you are the Israel, the people of God, the chosen one? Also, be very careful. The world wants us to forget who we are by taking away our sign so that we don't remember our identity. Number two. Let's turn back to Psalm chapter 74. In here it says that there is no longer any prophets. So the way that Satan attack you and I, first of all, he take away your identity. You know, give you wonderful things in the world. So slowly, you pursue, you work, you go after the world. Okay, that's the first thing that they do. Second, no longer prophet. Taking away your belief. Take away your belief. That's just number two. That's the second way that Satan attack you. You know what? You listen to so many classes and so many sermons in here, but I bet after you go back, your friend will tell you something else. I bet after you go back to school, your teacher will teach you something else to create doubt And then you say, oh, you know what? Maybe it's all the same. It's just, you know, different perspective, looking over the same thing. It's all the same. It's just one Bible. You know what? The world will want to take the prophet away from your life so that your faith, your belief is no longer simple and genuine. That's the second thing that Satan will do to you. Confusing your belief. That's why, you know what? That's why you realize that always you hear different things from internet, from your friends, from school. You always hear different type of teaching here and there all the time. But do remember that in the book of Proverbs, it says that if you believe everything that you heard, you are a fool. You are a fool. So faith needs to be rooted, be built upon understanding of the Bible. You do not just believe everything that you hear, including what you hear in here. If what we say is not the same as the Bible, you do not believe it. If you believe it, you make yourself a fool. That's why in TJC, we emphasize very much upon reading the Bible, attending seminars, and backing everything that we say with Bible verses. Because if you do not do that and believe everything, oh, you know, this pastor, you know, this is one thing that we realize when we talk to people, friends from other denominations. When you talk to them about Bible, when you talk to them about faith, so very often, what do they say? They say, oh, but my pastor say so. My pastor say so. Many times when I go and read and do Bible study with Christians from other denominations, so very often I say, but this is what the Bible say. And they say, oh, but my pastor say differently. And I just have to tell them, you know what? Take this verse, go back to your pastor and ask him how he explained it. Ask him. Ask your pastor where in the Bible, you know, ask him where in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, don't talk. Okay, you know what? Because so many people today, they only go by my pastor say, my bishop say, my church say. That's not good enough. That's not even good. You have to know what you are believing. So today, when we say things, when we talk about the truth, you have to say, the Bible says so, in here, right here, okay? So the second way that Satan wants to attack us is taking away our firm belief, our solid foundation, so that we don't really know what we believe anymore. Number three, chapter 74, verse 9. Here says, the sign is gone. Oh, we do not see our sign, and there is no longer any prophet. Number three, none do we know how long. Taking away our hope. Sometimes in our faith, we might be encounter tribulations, pressures, maybe from our work, maybe from school. Your friend might give you a hard time. You talk about faith, they laugh at you. You talk about your faith, they laugh at you. You kneel down and pray, they make fun of you. You know what? Sometimes you feel, why? Why do I need to go through this? And the problem is a lot of times we don't see the end of it. We don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to. Yeah, sometimes you feel, Lord, why don't you just strike them with light? No. Lord, why don't you just convert them with your lightning? Like you shine the light upon them, their eyes open, and everybody suddenly become a decent TJC member. And sometimes if you are in the church by yourself, if your parents are not believers, you suffer even more. You just like, why don't you understand? Why don't you understand? And you pray, you cry and say, Lord, why don't you just convert my parents' heart? Why don't you just change them like that? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to suffer? And a lot of times, you don't see the end of it. Just like in here, they say, we don't know how long. So you know what? The number three, the third way Satan attacks us is he make you feel that there is no hope. There's just no way. Remember what the king Nebuchadnezzar say to the three friends of Daniel? He said to them, let's see which God can save you from my hand. Destroy your hope. Destroy your hope. Make you feel that, no, you know what, I just can't. I just have to work on Saturday. You know what, if I don't go, my friend will hate me. I'll have no more friend. I will be living in a desperation and hopeless life. You know what, Satan wants to tell you, keep on convincing you that if you don't go by his way, you are hopeless. Like King Nebuchadnezzar, let's see which God can save you from my hand. Make you hopeless. And then, because of that, you surrender. You give in. You compromise. You yield from the principle of your faith. But see what the friend of Daniel say. Three friends of Daniel, they look at king when king was threatening them. They say, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, don't bother. We don't need to answer you. We don't. We don't need to answer you. Because this is the principle of faith. Whether God saves us, whether God doesn't save us, whether there's a hope of deliverance or God allows us to burn in fire, it doesn't matter. When it comes to principle of faith, there is no room. There's no room. Okay? So number three, Satan wants you to feel you cannot receive any help. You just have to compromise. But at this time, you stand firm and say, no, Nebuchadnezzar, don't even bother. Don't even bother. If I burn, I burned. So what? My faith is not for sale. My faith is not to be compromised. Okay? So you know what? These are the three ways that we might encounter in our daily life. Especially in here. In here, that you are here to seek differences. You are here to pray for transformation. And you know what? Right after you finish here, in another week, when you leave this church, when you leave this door, immediately, this is what you will encounter. The world trying to change your identity. Okay? And the world try to deprive you from the teaching that you're learning here. And also the world want to tell you, don't struggle, don't fight. It's useless. Just go back to your old filthy way. This is how the world will deal with you. But you know what? As much as the world tries to give you pressure, we never give in. So what do we do? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 74. Huh? How do we deal with the problem? How do we deal with the attack from Satan? Psalm chapter 74, verse 12. For God is my king from the old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Verse 13. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the head of the sea serpent in the water. 14. You broke the head of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So how do we deal with our problem? How do we prepare ourselves for the coming attack? Number one, in here says, remember, the Lord is your king from of old. In here it says, you divided, you broke, you broke, you gave. It's all past tense. All these are past tense. What is it trying to tell us? It tells us that remember the old days, once upon a time, how God saved you. Remember the old days, how God manifests his mighty hand and delivers you from the enemies. So remember the blessing from the past. Remember the grace from the past. And then you will realize, my God is almighty and powerful. And there's nothing for me to be afraid of. So it's very important for us to remember, to retrieve the memory once upon a time. My Lord can help me. If my Lord could help me in the past, my Lord can help me today for sure. That's what happened to David. If you look at the song of David in the songs, huh? So very often he said, because you helped me in the past, I believe you can help me today. If your power manifests in the past in my life, your power can definitely deliver me today in the current danger. That's the belief of David. His faith is not overnight. You look at the faith of those ancient saints. Abraham, Moses, or David, their faith is never built overnight. It's from where? It's from one event after another, one thing after another, one tribulation of another. You accumulate, you build up, and then you eyewitness power of the Lord, power of the Lord. So today, even you have not yet seen it, today you are in trouble. Attack comes, pressure comes, tribulation comes. Even before you see anything, you know, no problem, my Lord can handle it because I sing it. Sing it, been there, no problem. No problem. My God is powerful, almighty. So you know what? Accumulation of spiritual experience is so crucial. And remembering His grace is extremely important. People are very forgetful. People are very forgetful. But brothers and sisters, let us always remember the wonderful grace of the Lord in our life. Because you know what? Every time when you remind yourself, my Lord is wonderful, my Lord is wonderful. Every time when you remember all the wonderful miracles that He did in your life, it boosts up your faith. Just like what? Just like the testimony that we have yesterday. I at the end, the last thing I say is, I believe by giving a testimony, it helped the person who bore the testimony more than the audience. It helped them more. Because once again, they retrieve their memory. The fire burns inside. And you know what? It's very difficult to describe this kind of compelling of God's love. Once again, feel it inside. You just couldn't help but shed tears. And you know what? This kind of fire, this kind of power will push us and help us to overcome one wave after another, to overcome one tribulation after another, because my Lord loved me so much in the past, and I so certain believe that He loved me so today as well. That's what happened to David. That's what happened to Abraham. That's what happened to Moses. My Lord could do it, and He can do it today. Strong faith, never waver. So the first thing is, in here, it says that, remember, my God is almighty and powerful from old to today. Never forget. Number two, let's turn to Psalm chapter 74, verse 19. In here it says, oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Huh? Second thing is, understand that we are just like a turtle dove. Turtle dove. Very insignificant. Very little. Worthless. At that time, when you make an offering, rich people, they offer cows, like ox. They offer big animal, cow. Expensive. Middle class, you know, not as rich, middle class, what do they offer? They offer sheep. They offer sheep to the Lord. Huh? But if for the poor people, very poor, what do? You still need to make an offering. But you offer turtle dove. Very cheap. You can just go out and try to catch yourself. Free. So turtle dove is very insignificant. Doesn't worth much money. Very lowly. But in here, the author of the song says that, Lord, I'm a turtle dove. I'm just, you know, so small, nothing, nobody. But even your merciful eyes is upon the turtle dove. Second way that can help us to be strong is always remember, I am small, but God is big. I am weak, but thou art strong. That's why Apostle Paul said that every time when I learn I'm weak, I'm stronger than ever. Why? Because the Lord is by my side. The Lord is by my side. Also, the second thing that we need to do is to remember that the mercy of the Lord never fades and never fails. Love of the Lord never fails. That's why before Jesus departed his disciple, he said, you know what? I will never leave you as an orphan. So it doesn't matter what kind of situation. It could be family problem, school problem, career problem, anything. Anything. Your friend hates you. Nobody wants to be your Facebook friend anymore. Everybody defriend you. So sad. So sad. But you know what? When you kneel down to pray with this kind of sorrow, feeling that the world has rejected you because of your faith, like a little turtle dove, so powerless and so insignificant, I'm so sad. At this time, the Lord is going to appear to you and He is going to comfort you and say, don't worry, I will never leave you as an orphan. So when Apostle Paul, at his old age, when he was in jail, all alone by himself, he said, well, everybody left me. Everybody left me. Was he lonely? Perhaps. Was he feel sad? Maybe. But he said that everybody has left me, but my Lord is always here with me. So second thing, never forget, you are never deserted and you will never be left alone as an orphan. The Lord never will leave you. So it doesn't matter how people treat you. Doesn't matter how the world bully you. Remember one thing, our Lord never leave our side. And He said, I will always be here with you. Don't you worry about it, my little turtle dove. Number three, let's turn back to Psalm chapter 74. Psalm chapter 74, verse 20. Have respect to the covenant, for the dark place of the earth are full of haunted of cruelty. Verse 21. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Verse 22. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish people reproach you daily, and do not forget the voice of your enemy, the turmoil of those who rise up against you. Increase continually. Huh? Number three, what do we do? In here, we wait patiently. We wait patiently. You know what? We do what we can do. We cultivate ourselves in here. We pray to the Lord for help in here. We remember His grace. We never forget His miracle. We trust in Him. What do we do next? There's one thing left that we do is we wait on God patiently. Do remember, there is a timing for everything. That's why sometimes our life is like going through the shadow of the valley of death. Indeed. You know, sometimes, you know what? Life is so drastically different. Life is so difficult. So difficult. And sometimes there's sorrow, inexpressible. You don't know who to say it to. You tell people they can comfort you, but they just don't understand. There is such a heavy burden you in your heart. As you are walking along in the shadows of the valley of death, you go, you cry, and every step is like you walk with tears in your eyes. Yes, there are moments like that. And you keep on crying, Lord, how long? Lord, where are you? How come I do not see you? But you know what? As you are walking through this desperation in your life, you feel you are all alone. You are never alone. You are never alone. But how come your prayer is not answered? How come the Lord did not appear and deliver you on the spot? Because the Lord is waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for you to be strong. Every tribulation, the Lord is there watching. Not that He enjoys seeing you suffer. No. The Bible says that every tear He collects in the bag. You know what? That's what they say in the book of Psalms. Say, God has a bag and He collects your tear and put it in. You know, He does see. He knows that you are crying. He knows that you are sorrowful. He knows, because He was there. But the Lord wants us to go through tribulation and face the difficulties so that we become strong and tough. Do remember that difficult environment builds up tough souls. Tough environment builds up strong body. God wants you to be strong. So sometimes he puts you in difficult situations, like the eagle train their baby, like the lion, like, you know, those animals, they train their young with very cruel way. Not because they enjoy seeing them suffer, but they know this is the way to make them tough and ready to fight. Same thing with us. Same thing with us. You know what? That's why even as a parent, we love, you know, your parents love you so dearly, love you to death. You know, that's how I feel. That's how I feel when I see my children. I love them so much, but we put them through trial. We put them through difficulties. At age of 4, my daughter was put to wash dishes after she eats. We put out chair and a high chair, so she stood up there and washing dishes. And my 2-year-old son at that time were trying to rinse and break the dishes. That's what we do. You know what? After they finish and we put them to sleep, and after they go to sleep, my wife go and take care of them. I have to wash everything over again. But why do we do that? We want them to be disciplined from young. That's why in Lamentation says, what? It's good for the young, it's good for the youth to bear yoke, bear burdens. It's good for them. It's good for you. It's good for you. Because it trains you, it builds you up, it makes you strong. So you know what? If today you are in tribulation, if you feel that the life is so tough, and you cry, but while you are crying, never forget to tell yourself, never forget, this tough lesson is from my God. Because my Father in heaven has a greater mission for me. That's why he wants me to be strong and tough. So every tribulation comes with a meaning. Every tough time, every suffering, every sorrowfulness, there is a greater purpose, because I never suffer in vain. Do remember that. The Lord will never allow us to suffer in vain. But patiently wait for him. Build ourselves up and ready to serve him through prayer. So may the Lord help us. Let's get ourselves ready. You know, put all the gear together. Get ourselves ready. Ready for the battle. Ready for the tough time. And ready to win for him. Let's all come to the front and pray.